Malachi chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning. Anybody have a word of testimony tonight, like before we get started? About to say anything good about the Lord? Brother Samuel, would you grab that? Just kind of hold that like there so we can hear you, okay? Miss Dorothy's in the back. She's first.
I want to thank the Lord that He saved my soul.
Amen.
When I knew that I was lost,
yep.
I could repent and be saved, and not until.
That's right.
I tried for years, but it didn't work.
Amen.
But repentance unto a salvation works.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that my husband was able to come this morning. He had to go back home, but he was able to come this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the church and for my church family.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miss Dorothy. You know, I remember growing up as a young man, thinking I need to be saved, I need to be saved, I need to be saved, and but yet nothing ever changed. Nothing ever changed. And it wasn't until God gave me that repentance, like you said, and things were different. Everything was different. Praise God for it. It has to come from God. Amen. Who, anybody else? Anybody else want to say something? Amanda? She's...
I want to thank the Lord for showing me the error of my ways and for correcting me and for loving me enough to correct me and for all His many blessings He's given me over the years.
Amen.
Countless, countless blessings for my beautiful children and everything I have. I'm grateful for everything.
Amen. That's good. That's good. That shows a lot of maturity right there to say I'm thankful for the Lord correcting me. Don't get angry when God corrects you. Good night. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Amanda. Anybody else? I saw another hand up here, Samuel. I think Miss Claudia. Come on.
I never get up here and say anything because I just know I'm going to break down and cry because of all that the Lord waited for me for 60 years to come to salvation and to come to this church, and I just never knew that the Lord could be so real and so merciful and so gracious and all the things He's done in my life. And sometimes it's just amazing to me,
yeah,
that He was so patient and so long-suffering to wait till I thought I was saved 2 to 3 times in my life. And I'm going to thank God for Pastor and Mrs. Fogg in that day in their truck, in their vehicle, that the Holy Spirit just came over me and I got conviction, and I just, right then and there,
amen,
and I thought I'd been saved, but no, it wasn't, and everything has changed. And,
amen.
And I thank God for the reproving and all of the ways He's worked in my life, and I take out my social security card and I'm about to get my license. And I know that sounds like a little thing, but it's been about 20 years since I've seen this.
20 years, really?
Something like
wow.
that. Yes, sir.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
I just never knew that God could speak to you through His Word. And you could speak to your heart like every day. And,
amen.
And just everything He's doing. I just thank You, Lord, for everything.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Claudia. Amen. Brother Worcester? It's right on the end of that little...
I was sitting here earlier thinking about how wonderful it is to be in God's house.
Amen.
And how precious you people are to me.
Amen.
And I cannot think, even if feasible, that I could go a day without Jesus.
Amen.
I have to have Jesus with me 24/7, and I thank God that He sent Jesus for our sins, to
Amen.
Die for our sins.
Amen.
I thank God for that. And the Holy Spirit fills our heart, fills our soul.
Yep.
I cannot go one day without knowing that the Holy Spirit's in my life. When I wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. They're all three the same, but I still get each one of them. I love each one of them.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit guides me, and I praise God for that. I
Amen.
Thank God for my salvation, for my pastor, and for this church.
Amen.
God bless y'all.
Amen, Brother Worcester. Thank you. Anyone else? Not today? Nobody else? Brother Josh, go ahead.
I just thank God for, like I said, a church house, for his house, for his people. To think that not only what a friend he is, but also that his people, I can be friends with his people as well too. That yeah. they can be, I consider as a family. You know, I have my earthly family that I love and I care about, but I honestly love my church family more than you know. It's sad to say, but it's true.
Yes.
Because you know, I pray for my family. I want them to get saved. I love them. But you know, I have brothers and sisters here that love me, that treat my kids with respect, and they're just an example for them, encouragement to them.
Yep.
And you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard my little girl tell me like how she wants to be like Brittany, and how she enjoys what she does, and how excited she gets, and it's a blessing to see that my daughter would have excitement. She would take joy with God. You know, I pray for their future, but I know that me being a man, being a father, that this is where I need to be. I need to yield myself, give myself to God, and just pray for my children. Pray for all the children. You know, being in junior church is not something I get to do. It's a privilege.
Amen.
And I see the hearts and lives and the struggle that those children have because their parents, simply because their parents don't know any better, simply because their parents are just worried about themselves.
Yep.
But I also see the future in these children. I see that God, like you said, we know that God can move a mountain with a mustard seed. These kids are little, but when you start getting involved and you start seeing God do the work in their hearts and lives, you start seeing Bibles getting passed out to these young children.
Amen.
You see the work that God is doing and how he does, how he provides. I always think, how are these kids going to, what's going to happen, you know? But as you start to grow and you see these children and you start to see them get excited for the Lord, you start to see them come faithfully each and every Sunday. It's a blessing to be able to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And as our missionaries as well too, you see Bibles being translated.
Yeah.
That never, you see, you know, God has a way. He's provided everything that we need. We're the only ones that are hindering and stopping that, stopping his from going, because all we have to do is just simply go. He provides the rest.
Amen.
And it's a blessing to be a part of a church where it's soul winning, the vans are filled up, in a room where we go and study, and we're learning more of true repentance or salvation, and to have a room filled up with God's people and just excited and coming on purpose. No one's making you come. You're here on purpose because you know this is where you need to be at. It's exciting to see that.
Yep.
And I praise the Lord for each and everyone here. I praise the Lord for, I just praise God for what he's been doing at his, in his house. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to what he has in store for all of us.
Amen.
Just thank you everyone for being faithful. You know, it's all God. I know it is in the end, but it's a blessing to have you, to consider, to have you as a brother and sister in Christ. The encouragement that you are to me as a husband, as a father, and just thank each and every one, and praise the Lord for,
amen.
We're just him being.
Amen,
him.
Brother Josh. Thank you. Anybody else? Miss Danya?
Well, I just want to thank the Lord just for my salvation and for my kids. And I just stop and think. Where would I be if I wasn't in church and I wasn't saved? And where would my kids be in this world? And like Josh said, being, you know, Sunday school teachers, it opens your eyes. And like, the best thing you could do for your kids is to bring them to church and for them to learn about salvation.
Amen.
But a lot of parents and a lot of coworkers, they don't feel this way. And it burdens my heart, and it makes me want to cry for their kids, because I'm just so thankful that God knew what he was doing even before I knew what was going on.
He knew a long time before. Amen.
And so I just thank him for just giving us a church home, and
amen.
And for my kids, and them being raised in church, and amen. Just a testimony that every single one of you guys is for my kids. And like Josh said, Karina, she's like, oh, Mrs., you know, Miss Davis this, or Miss Claudia that. And it's just, I come home and I just... If I had a bad day at work, I can't wait to come to church on Sundays because of what they tell me when I get home.
Amen.
So
yep. Amen.
I just thank the Lord for looking down at us and just giving us salvation.
Amen. That's good. That's good. That's a blessing. Miss Margaret, go ahead.
Am I just speaking? Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to thank everyone for your prayers for the family. The family is so fragmented, but it was amazing last night to watch Ernie and his son John playing a tossing game together and, you know, kind of slapping each other on the back and the fellowship.
Yeah.
It was truly a miracle.
Amen.
And I know where it comes. It comes from the prayers from all of you and from Jesus. And I'm so grateful. It was truly a blessing.
Yeah.
It was. I thought of all of you when at times last night,
right.
And that it wouldn't. I don't. I know it wouldn't have been possible without
right.
the prayers and in Jesus and
Amen.
And I'm grateful to my husband for, in an odd way, through Jesus, brought me to my salvation.
Yeah.
In my baptism.
Amen. Amen. Good.
And all of you, and thank you, all of you, very much.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's good. Thank you, Miss Margaret. Over here, Samuel. Amen.
I'm wishing to continue thanking the Lord extremely heavy now because of the damage that happened to me when I was 5 years old that gave me my attention deficit disorder. He is now helping me to learn the Bible more and more with me reading it daily so I can actually share it with people when I'm talking with them, knocking on doors, somewhat better now.
Yeah.
And it definitely seems we're going to help to get people here better to maybe join and become members of the church like
Amen.
We all are.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, that's good. Anyone else? Okay. Oh, Brother Benny, go ahead.
I want to thank God tonight and at the time He let me breathe.
Yep.
Thanks for His goodness.
Amen.
And all I want to say, first of all, yes, thank God for my salvation. The more humble we keep, but I would say I keep personal, that's the better way He can work
right.
on my side and our side. And the more faithful I let Him to work in myself, that's the better way will be for me
right.
growing and discovering His goodness and again the real joy.
Amen.
And there is
joy.
No doubt. There is no doubt on my side, on myself, that the only God can transform our hearts.
Yep.
Our hearts.
Yep.
So thank God for that. Thank God for you, Brother Pastor. You've been a tremendous blessing. A tremendous blessing.
Thank you, brother.
It's a tremendous teaching here. It's the truth. And that's the only way even we come here to church and we probably say, yeah, we are safe or you know, but maybe not. But here is the opportunity. Here is the place where God can do the work.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Thank you for all the prayers.
Yep.
I've been blessing.
Amen.
So I'm humble myself.
Amen, brother.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God for my son Benny.
Yes, sir.
And and again, thank you for all the prayers.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you very much. All right. That's good. Anybody else? All right, Brother Samuel. Thank you, son. That's a blessing, guys. The Bible says to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, amen.
Amen.
So I want to do that. I want to obey the Bible.
Amen.
All right, Malachi chapter 4, would you stand with me? I promise not to be too long, whatever that means. It sounds good. No, really, I know we've got fellowship and snacks, but I'm just going to pick up where I left off this morning for a little while and try to be a blessing. Malachi 4, it says, verse 1, for behold, the day cometh, it's not an if, it's cometh, amen, it's a certainty, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, bless your word tonight for a little while. Help me, O God, to be a blessing. I pray for no distractions. I pray, Lord, for a focus on your word and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard and how they've blessed our hearts. And Lord, please keep molding us,
yes,
changing us, God, more into the image of our dear Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. This morning I talked to you about the fear of the Lord. Verse 2 says, "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." I talked to you in depth this morning about the fear of God, how I said that the fear of God is to hate evil. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And here in Malachi, the book of Malachi goes through many, many detailed descriptions, really, of people who did not fear God. People who did not understand that the fear of the Lord is what makes a difference in their character and who they are in their lifestyles. And God uses the book of Malachi to open up to you and me what it means to fear the Lord, and obviously what it means to not fear the Lord and live a life that pollutes his house, that pollutes and desecrates the things that are holy. And really, if you remember the book of Daniel this morning in Sunday school, we saw Belshazzar, that young man who was drinking wine and entertaining his guests and really showing off his power, and with no fear of the Lord at all, defiling the vessels of God. And then God ended his life that very night. God ended his life that very night. And the fact is, God will not, in chapter 4, God will not allow those who live wicked lives, who walk in pride, they will not live that way forever. There's coming a day, amen, of reckoning. There's coming a day of restitution, where God will make everything right. God will set things straight, amen. He will make things what they're supposed to be, and he's going to bring in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in order to do that. He's coming back to the world in the rapture. Let me try to explain to you briefly here tonight. Jesus is coming back in the rapture, but not to the earth, only to the clouds, and then he's going to call those of us that are saved away, catch us away into heaven, and then we will go forever to be with the Lord, forever from that day forward to be with the Lord. We shall see him face to face. Amen. But the very first thing that awaits us after that rapture is a judgment seat. A judgment seat of Christ, where we will answer for whether or not we lived in the fear of the Lord.
Yep. Yeah.
That's what God is going to answer. That's what God is going to judge in that day of reckoning. He's not going to judge your salvation. He's going to judge whether or not we lived in his word, because we feared him, because we knew that he was coming back and he was going to set things straight. He was going to put things in order. And he's going to make us answer for our lives, for what we have done with his grace. The Bible says we are stewards of the grace of God. The grace of God is nothing more than the salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are stewards. That means that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness to the Lord's work. Faithfulness, we said this morning, that fearing God will cause you to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Look in chapter 3 of Malachi there, verse 18, "Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Now listen, it doesn't mean, we're not talking about salvation so much this evening. We're talking about those who fear the Lord and those who don't. There's some that fear the Lord that are saved, and some that don't fear the Lord that are saved. You understand? Really, the fear of the Lord is what distinguishes a person and their character, and what God is going to hold us accountable for, what we're doing with our salvation, with the goodness that he's given us. Okay? And the character of man is going to be based upon whether or not he fears the Lord. Now, chapter 4 then tells us that God is going to come back and make things right, hold us accountable for what we've done with His truth. Whether or not we feared Him, because if it shows up and we fear Him, look in chapter 3, verse 13, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts?" Now, I told you this morning that it is sometimes, as we live in truth and righteousness according to this Bible, sometimes there's going to be days of mourning. There's going to be days of sorrow. Okay? But what happens is, in those days of mourning, you cannot let your heart wander into believing that it's vain. Yeah. To serve the Lord. You cannot let your heart wander and begin to believe, well, what profit is it? What good is it me? What good is it doing me to serve the Lord? Yeah. You serve the Lord because you fear the fact that one day, whether you like it or not, whether you're serving the Lord or not, you're going to stand before Him.
Amen.
Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me quickly. Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples of the coming kingdom, the reign of Christ in this world. He says here, Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that I have to be poor in spirit to be saved.
Right.
It means that if I'm going to rule and reign in the kingdom, I'm going to have to have I'm going to have to be poor in spirit here. What does that mean? It simply means to be humble.
Yeah.
It simply means to not live for myself.
Yep.
Look in verse 4. Blessed are they that what? Mourn. Didn't we just see that in Malachi? What the world says, and many people say, well, what good is it? What profit is it that we have walked mournfully before the Lord? What is the point of living this life so wrapped up in this Bible, so attached to the truth of the Word of God? What is the point? Because Jesus tells us that your future is blessed.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus is promising you in chapter 5 of Matthew that if you'll walk mournfully before the Lord now, if you'll give up yourself and just fear God and serve Him, that you will be blessed and comforted in the day of righteousness.
Amen.
Okay? Look with me back in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Of course, Samuel being the first prophet, the last judge, he was a man of God. He was talking to his people here in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, and he says in verse 24, there's one thing, listen, one thing that you need to do as a Christian. Only means only. You need to fear the Lord. Only fear the Lord. Now, I don't fear Him judging me and sending me to hell. That's not what we're talking about. But I do fear the judgment day, the day of Christ, the day of reckoning. Because I'm going to answer for my life.
Yep.
So I've got to fear the Lord. Notice, so what am I going to do if I fear the Lord? I'm going to serve Him.
Yeah.
Only fear the Lord and what? Serve Him in truth. Now listen to me. That what that means is we serve Him according to His Word.
That's right.
You can't serve the Lord any old way you choose. You've got to serve the Lord in truth.
Amen.
In this book, this is truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And so if I'm going to fear the Lord, it's going to show up that I'm going to serve the Lord according to truth, this Bible, with all my
heart.
Whew. Those are some lofty standards. Those are some high standards. But if you fear the Lord, it will be the desire of your heart.
Yeah,
amen. But look, why should I do that, preacher? For consider how great things He hath done for you.
Amen.
Think about that. I fear the Lord, not because I'm afraid He's going to hurt me, but because He's already saved me, and I'm going to stand before Him and give an account of my life. So I fear Him, I serve Him in truth, according to His Word, with all of my heart, because I'm thankful for what He's already done for me.
Amen. That's right.
Or, verse 25, but And this is, by the way, this is the same crowd of people.
Yep. Yeah,
right. If you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now, folks, listen to me. I understand that we're not talking about hell. We're not talking about loss of salvation. We're talking about loss of rewards. And we're talking about loss of reigning with Him in the kingdom. Go back to Malachi 4. I hope you didn't lose your place. Amen. I hope you stuck your finger in there or something. But anyway, look at Malachi chapter 4. Those that do not fear the Lord, those that will not serve the Lord, those that will not serve Him in truth with all their heart. Because listen, there's a lot of nowadays in this charismatic, Pentecostal, non-denominational garbage that's going on around here. People talk about serving the Lord, but they're serving the Lord any way they choose. In their own mold of serving, the way they want to serve the Lord. Now, according to their traditions and their cultures and their churches, and they're not serving the Lord according to in spirit and in truth. Amen. In spirit, the Holy Spirit, most of them ain't even saved, and they don't know what saved is more than the man on the moon. Amen. They don't have a spirit of God. All they have is an external religion. But what you and me have is a spirit of God that changes us from the inside out. Amen. And then we begin to see that the truth of the Word of God is everything to me. It is my anchor, my shield, my sword, and my strength. Amen. So I serve the Lord in truth. But listen, those that either serve the Lord or do wickedly are both going to stand before the same God. In Malachi chapter 4, he says that day's coming. In verse 2, though, he says, but unto you, okay, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise. We talked about this morning. See, the day of judgment's not going to be a day of burning up and hot fire and shame and disgrace. It's going to be a day of healing. It's going to be a day of rejoicing. It's going to be a day of in His wings. We're going to be hidden under His wings. All of our works. Amen. The Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Under the shadow of His wings will I rejoice. That is prophetic. That is you and me looking into the future. And in the shadow of the healing wings of the Son of Jesus Christ of righteousness, we shall rejoice. Rejoice. You shall go forth from the judgment seat. You're not going to remain. You're going to go forth and you're going to grow up as calves of the stall. And look at verse 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked.
Yep.
They shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this. Now stop right there for a second. What that means is, okay, at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to determine who's going to be the one walking on people and who's going to be the one under people's feet.
Yep.
Now, it's symbolic. Obviously, we're not going to be walking on anybody literally. But the point is this. It's a picture for you and me to understand. If I will fear the Lord now, then I will get to rule with Him then. The people who are doing wickedly now are going to be the people under my feet that I'm going to be ruling over.
Come on.
That's the future.
Amen.
That's what the beauty of this thing is. The same judgment seat, the same day of reckoning. For some people, it's going to be woeful mourning and disgrace and shame. For some of us, though, if we'll just determine to fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all of our hearts, considering how great things He has done for us, then the day of reckoning will be a day of shouting and rejoicing. And say, "That's right, Lord. You're right, Lord." And now, from this day on, listen, and there. You and me will go forth into the kingdom and rule and reign with Him.
Amen.
But those who have done wickedly, hey, listen, I'm talking about saved people.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
There are a lot of saved people living wicked lives.
Amen.
And I don't care if they're going to church. That's not what I said.
Amen.
They're living wicked lives.
That's right, brother. That's right. Come on.
They're living ungodly lives according to their own lusts, not according to this book.
Yeah.
Not according to truth. They're going to be under my feet.
Uh-huh.
Now, you say, "Preacher, are you proud of that?" I'm rejoicing in that.
Amen.
Because that's right.
Yeah.
Because that's what the way it should be.
Right.
And not because I did anything, but because of what He's done for me.
Right.
But you understand something. You've got to choose to fear the Lord now and serve the Lord now so that you can rule and reign with Him then.
That's right. Amen.
The kingdom of God, the coming kingdom. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Amen. It's good stuff. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, let's see. He's talking about verse. Let's look in verse 19. Let's just read 19 for now. Whosoever, therefore, whosoever, 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 meaning saved or unsaved, dearly beloved, whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments. Now, wait a minute. When I talk about salvation,
that's right.
I don't get salvation by keeping commandments.
Right.
But if I'm going to serve the Lord in truth, the commandments matter.
That's right.
If I fear the Lord, yep, I'm going to keep His commandments.
Right. Yeah, amen.
Now, He says, whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments. Well, that's no big deal. It's just a lie. The Bible says we're not supposed to lie.
That's right. Amen.
It's no big deal. It's just immodest apparel. It's just me showing off my body to the world. The body, by the way, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which belongs to God. I'm to glorify God in my spirit and my body, which are His.
Yeah.
It's just no big deal. I'm just wearing shorts. It's no big deal. I'm just showing off my body to the world. You don't fear God. And in the kingdom, you're going to regret that stupid decision.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just immodesty. Look, I'm not done yet. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. By the way, when you do that, look what it says. You're teaching men so.
Yeah.
You're teaching others to break it.
That's right.
That's right.
Why do you think these churches are so big?
Yeah.
Why? Because there's one who says, don't worry about that. Listen, we got grace. We've got license to sin. Let's just live like we want to. I mean, after all, we have eternal life, and God will forgive you. Don't worry about that. Just live like you want to. You know what they're doing? Is they're teaching masses and masses of people to live the same way.
That's right.
Amen.
But the story's not over yet.
It was.
Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least.
Yep.
He's going to be the one under the feet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh, they may have a big church now, dearly beloved, but you better wake up.
Amen, brother.
This is the kingdom.
That's right. That's right.
They may be rich now, but you better wake up. This is the judgment seat. This is the standard right here.
Yeah.
Not the size of their church.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Not the size of their following.
Yep.
And the Bible says that rich men have many friends.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because it's all about what I can, what you can do for me, and it's all about carnality and materialism, and it's all about lust, flesh.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Jesus said, though, the commandments are the standard, not your lust,
Amen.
Not your flesh. The commandments.
Yep. That's right.
You break one of the least of these, you're teaching other people to do that.
Yeah, come on.
I want you to stop and meditate on that for just a second.
Yeah.
Hey, you got children? That's what you're teaching them.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm teaching my children. Whatever commandment I seem to think is no big deal. And by the way, I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about this book.
Right.
Whatever I decide is no big deal, God will forgive me. Oh yeah, He will. But the kingdom's coming.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
The kingdom's coming.
Yep.
Sure is.
And God says, you break one of these least commandments. By the way, this is on purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
This is somebody who knows they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's not just an inadvertent sin. It's a person who knows they're living in sin.
Right. Yeah. Cool.
You're teaching other people that. And in that kingdom, you're going to be the least. You're going to be under the feet of those who fear God now.
Amen.
Amen.
You see what I'm talking to you? Now look what it says in the rest of the verse though. Wait now. But whosoever shall do. And by the way, when I do, I'm also teaching others to do.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it says. I do them and teach them. The same shall be called what?
Great.
In the same kingdom. There's going to be some that are great. There's going to be some that are least.
That's right.
Why? It's based on what you do now with that book.
Yeah, man.
Listen to me.
Yep.
I believe what I'm preaching to you.
Amen.
I believe it down to the bottom of my toes, to the crown of my head, to the sole of my feet. I believe it from the tips of my fingers to the tips of my toes. I believe what I'm preaching to you. It is all over this Bible. Listen to me, understand something. I do not care what anybody has in this world. I do not care what they think of my Bible. I believe what I'm preaching to you, and one day it's all going to be made right.
Amen. That's right.
So listen to me. Do not live. Look in 2 Corinthians. Do not live according to what you see now. You cannot live according to what you see now. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 14. Knowing, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Yeah. Hey, listen, you know what it means to be presented with you? That means you're coming, presenting yourself before the throne.
Yep. Yeah.
The same God that raised Jesus Christ is going to raise you up. If you're dead, he's going to resurrect that body in Christ at the rapture. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then listen, the judgment seat's the first thing.
Yep.
You're going to be presented front and center before the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Look what he says here. For all things are for your sakes. That's a man who has decided to deny himself. Not worry about what everybody else thinks. He's living and serving the Lord as he serves other people, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause, we faint not. You know what's keeping Paul going? He's not fainting. I know, listen, I'm going to stand before Christ one day.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand before Christ. I'm not going to faint now. Because if I faint now, oh boy, I'm going to regret it deeply.
Yeah.
Then, let's read on. For which cause we faint not. What keeps him going? This judgment seat.
That's right.
For though our outward man perish, I mean, Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man was beaten to a pulp. That man was stoned. That man was ripped apart. His physical body was marred from head to toe. And he said, though our outward body, our outward man perish, this body's going to die, he says. The inward man is renewed day by day. Glory to God. I'm talking to you. I believe this. Listen to me.
Yeah.
How can I stay renewed day by day? Because one day I look forward to Jesus making things right.
Amen.
That's what, look, let's read on. I'm not done. Notice what he says in verse 17. Our light affliction. Now, you say, well, must not have been much happened to him. Okay, go over to chapter 11 real fast. Look in verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Well, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above man. Those weren't stripes on his sleeve. It's not a military rank.
Right.
Those were stripes, beatings all over his body. In stripes above measure, he couldn't even count them anymore. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. What does that mean? That means God revived that man more than once.
Yep.
He was dead.
Right.
One of those times he went to the third heaven and got to see things that could not be uttered.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me today?
Yes.
Amen.
In deaths often of the Jews, his own people, God's people, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Five times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Lord have mercy, that's three times. Beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, By the way, they didn't have 747s. In perils of waters, that's danger, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Now, what does that mean? That means everywhere he went, every city he walked into, every place he laid his head at night, he was in danger. His whole life was peril. He says in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness. Yeah, I can imagine after all that. In watchings often, that means staying up all night. Praying in hunger and thirst, not by his choice, because it says in fastings often. Two different things. Hunger and thirst is because he didn't have anything to eat, nothing to drink. Fasting is a personal choice. In cold and nakedness. Now listen, God's standard of nakedness is different than ours, but either way you look at it, it's nakedness. And he's cold in prison, and he's naked. Beside those things that are without, verse 28, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. He said, I'm going to glory in these things. Go back to chapter 4 where we were, since you thought he didn't really have a rough life. Look what he calls it in verse 17 of chapter 4. Light affliction. Light affliction. Why? It's because it's only for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I don't know how high ranking the Apostle Paul is going to be in the kingdom, but I promise you, he's going to be way up there.
Amen.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
And that's what he's taught. This is what's keeping me going. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, that precious kingdom where I get to rule and reign with him. He says, look at verse 18. How do you keep this? Because we look not at things which are seen. I'm not looking down at my arms and my legs and my and all the beatings and the bruises and the cuts and all of the physical. Can you just imagine how his deformed his body must have been towards the end of his life? Broken bones, not healing straight. I mean, they didn't have all the medicine that we have today.
That's right.
He didn't look down his body and say, oh man, I'm suffering for... No, he said, this is a light affliction because I've got a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. I'm not looking at things which are seen, but things which are not seen.
Yeah.
The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That kingdom of heaven is eternal.
Yep.
You see, it's only 1,000 years. It's only 1,000 years on this earth.
Yeah, that's right.
But the kingdom of heaven is eternal. The kingdom of heaven is eternal. You understand something? He's looking at the eternal weight of glory of the thrill it's going to be to rule and reign with his Savior in the kingdom. I believe this. This is what God is telling you and me. This is truth. You understand? Now go over here to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look over here in verse 4. Philippians 3, verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, he had a lot going on in his life. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What he's saying here is this. He says, look guys, I'm not serving the Lord because I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
See, that's what a lot of people look at. They look at the preacher and say, he's a flunky, so he joined the ministry. I'm telling you, that's the way the world thinks. That's the way the carnal mind thinks. Well, I don't think I'm going to go in the ministry, you know. I think I'm going to make money. See, you're looking at the things that are temporal. You're not fearing God. If God has called you, young man, into the ministry, and you're saying, "Well, I don't think so. I'm too scared." And listen, you are forsaking the far more exceeding eternal glory of God, yeah, ruling and reigning with Him in the kingdom. Yep. Listen, if it weren't for this, what I'm telling you right now, if I didn't believe this, I think I would have quit a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
Oh, preacher. You don't mean that. If Paul didn't believe this, what would have kept him going?
That's right. That's right.
That's what he just told us. That's what kept him going.
Man, yep. That's right.
The day of reckoning. The kingdom come to come. He says, but all of those things in verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. They were taking me away from Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He's not talking about salvation, folks. He's talking about winning a place in the kingdom of Christ.
Amen.
Do you see what he's saying there? He said, I've counted this all. It's nothing to me. It's just worldly things. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look in verse 1. Now he's about to die, and he's passing the mantle to the young man Timothy. Look what he's still talking about in verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Excuse me, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, what things? Well, the things I just read to you. Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, look in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to endure hardness for what? Just so I can say I'm a good soldier? No. There's a day of reckoning coming.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. Listen, you know what pleases the Lord? Is you fearing him and serving him in truth with all your heart.
Amen.
And that day when you stand before him, when you are presented before him with everybody else that's saved, he's going to look at your life and say, okay, did your life please me? Did you serve me?
Right. Yeah.
Because that's what he saved you to do.
Right.
He says in verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, he's not what? What is he not what? Verse 5, y'all with me?
Right.
Not crowned. Hey, that's not talking about here.
That's right.
This is a verse referring to you and me having to serve the Lord lawfully according to that book in your lap.
Right. Yep. Yeah, mate.
If I'm going to earn a crown in the kingdom, if I'm going to earn a crown and rule and reign with him in the future, listen to me, I've got to strive in this life lawfully, according to the law in your lap.
That's right.
And that says any man. I don't care how big you are here. I don't care how much money you can make here, or how wealthy or rich or famous you can be here, how many television shows you have here. If you're not doing according to the law of this book, you're not earning anything.
That's right.
Let's read on here. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. What's he saying? He said, Timothy, I'm not talking about right now.
Yep.
You need to consider what I'm saying, Timothy. The Lord's going to have to give you understanding. I'm talking about the kingdom. Look what he says here. I'm not done. Look, read on. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer. You see that? I suffer trouble as an evildoer right here in this world, even unto bonds. The word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things in verse 10 for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I'm suffering because of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm suffering because of the ministry that God's given me. I'm suffering because I'm saved and I want to live according to this book.
Amen.
That's what I'm suffering, he says.
Amen.
And he says, but I want you to understand, this is a faithful saying, meaning it never changes. Look in verse 11. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Amen. Okay, that's great. All right, living in Christ, I've got to die to myself first. But wait now. Yep. If we suffer, in verse 12, we shall also what?
Reign
with Him. That's talking about the future kingdom.
Yeah. Amen.
Not everybody is going to reign with Christ, folks.
Right. Right.
Just because they're saved.
Yep.
Just because they're saved does not mean that some of them are just living lives of wickedness and slothfulness and disobedience and doing things their own way, not striving lawfully. They're not, and by the way, they're not suffering at all.
Right. Yep.
And you look at them and you start thinking, well, because you forgot what I'm telling you right now.
Right.
If you ever knew it.
Yeah.
But see, when you realize this is real, this is true. I believe this because this is what God says.
Yeah.
It's straight out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, the opposite is true. If we don't, we don't.
Right.
Amen.
Are you suffering for Jesus?
Amen.
Well, yeah, I have to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night.
Come on.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
That's what we think, isn't it? Yeah, I'm suffering, man. I had to get out of bed and come to Sunday school. Help me, Lord.
Amen, brother.
Come on, y'all. I'm making light of it, but seriously, look what it says. If we deny Him, in verse 12, He also will deny us. This is all future tense. When I stand before Him at that judgment seat, I've denied Him every day of my life. My life has denied Him. My lips have denied Him. My lifestyle has denied Him. My dress has denied Him. My thought life has denied Him. My actions have denied Him. My words have denied Him. I have made a mockery of the Bible. I have lived like the devil, and I've called myself a Christian. We've denied Him, and He's going to deny you.
That's right. That's right.
And He's going to say, you're not reigning with Me. You're the least in the kingdom.
Yep.
That's right, preacher.
And to that I say, glory to God!
Amen.
Because that's justice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
That's justice.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you're excited. You better believe I'm excited. I believe this. I'm looking forward to reigning with Him. I'm looking forward to this truth and righteousness, glorified, glory to God, and reigning forever. Listen, you ought to be too if you're saved.
Amen.
If we believe not, verse 13, if we just don't believe it anymore. Now look what it says. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What's that mean? You don't lose salvation.
That's right.
He's not going to get rid of you as far as that goes, but he's going to deny you.
Yep.
At that throne seat, that judgment seat, and for that kingdom come, you're going to be the least. And it's because you did not fear His name.
Yep.
You did not serve Him in truth, with righteousness from your heart, doing the will of God from the heart.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, I believe this.
Amen.
If you're listening to me and you're walking with God and you're struggling to make ends meet, but you're giving money to missions, you're struggling to make ends meet, but you're tithing, and that you're struggling to find friends in this world, but yet you know that Jesus is real and you believe the Bible and you know this is truth and this is righteousness and you know the power of God is the only glory and the hope that we have, and you believe that there is a future kingdom coming, but you're struggling right now. You're having a hard time. Everything's just not good. You just don't know. Listen to me. Lift up your head, dearly beloved. Amen. Redemption draweth nigh. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's no joy when you're the least of the kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's worth getting excited about.
Amen.
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 That's worth shouting about.
Amen.
You can have this old world.
Yep.
You can have everything it offers. It's all dung.
Sorry, yeah.
Sorry. I use a good Bible word. It's
Amen.
Dung.
Amen.
Compared to the glory of the kingdom of God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'm excited.
Amen. Praise God.
I'm kind of just thinking, Lord, just let whatever happens happen. There's a future far exceeding glorious weight of glory waiting for me one day.
Amen.
I'm going to strive lawfully. I'm going to honor that book. I'm going to serve the Lord in truth with all my heart. Nobody, nothing else matters. Jesus is everything.
Amen.
But preacher, it's just so hard. Have you heard people say that? It's just so hard. That's because you don't see the future.
Right.
You don't see the future. You and me have a lot to look forward to.
Amen.
I told you this morning, well, even if you live to be 100, let me say it to you this way. Thank God that we don't live in Methuselah's day.
Amen.
That we have to be faithful for 900 years.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, God has done a wonderful thing, and He's shortened our lifespan down to 70, 70, 70. Woo, thank you, God. But eternity is still to come. Fear the Lord now. Those that fear my name, He said, when the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in His wings, you and me are going to go forth.
Amen.
And we're going to tread on the wicked.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I'm not saying, you know, I want to tread on them, and I'm trying to, you know, keep it spiritual. You got to be careful. Keep it spiritual. But that's God's promise.
That's right.
He that breaketh these commandments and teaches others to do so, he's going to be the least in the kingdom.
Yep.
Listen, it's important that we live by this book.
Amen.
We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
But then there's a kingdom. There's going to be least and there's going to be the greatest. Jesus said to His disciples, He said it this way. He said, the last shall be first.
Yeah.
And the first shall be last.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means from the end of the line I get to jump forward? At the part of the line I got to go back? Sort of. That means if you'll just serve the Lord in humility, denying yourself, serve the Lord in truth according to the lawful book of God you have in your hands, you're going to be last in this world. You're going to be the off-scouring of this world. You're going to be the strange and pilgrim people. You're the weirdo, those independent, weirdo, fundamental, Bible-believing, weirdo Baptists. You're one of those.
Man.
And to that I say, you better believe it.
Amen.
Why? Because my day's coming.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus' day.
Yep.
But if I suffer with Him now, I get to reign with Him then.
Amen. Yeah,
buddy.
I don't care about being great in this world.
Amen.
I can't even hardly make my clothes match half the time. I'm surely not great in my financial portfolio.
Say what?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm surely not great in my social status. I mean, I go to bed at night, I lay my head on my pillow though, and I sleep with peace. I'm trying to strive to do the will of God according to His word. Because He's promised me one day I get to rise up and reign with Him.
Right.
But if I deny Him now, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah, come on.
So that's, isn't that talking about salvation and hell and all that? Yes and no. He's denying me if I deny Him.
Right.
Listen, the fact is this. I'm sowing seeds right now that I'm going to reap then. It's exciting, man. If you believe what I just talked to you the last 30 minutes or whatever that was, I think it was only 10 minutes or so. If you believe what I just, what God, I mean, all I did was read your scripture. That's all I did. If you believe, and there's tons more where that came from.
Amen.
If you believe what I just read to you, you'll stop.
Amen. Right. Yeah. That's right.
I just don't have anything, preacher. Nobody likes me.
Yeah.
No friends. What are you talking about? Look around you.
Amen.
We're all right here. Amen.
Amen.
We're singing, shouting, hallelujah, rejoicing.
Yeah.
And we're going to go eat here in a minute. I mean, think about it. Don't tell me nobody likes you. That's why God gave you a church. Amen. See, I'm going to preach this next time. I got to stop. The bell has rung. The church, listen, is preparing us for the kingdom.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And I'll get to that next time. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you. Lord, what a blessing it has been to see and hear your word. Lord God, I pray your people's spirits are lifted, refreshed, revived, rejoicing. Thank you, God, for the precious Bible. The promises that are yea and amen, true and steadfast. Help us, Lord. Bless the invitation now. Help your people to just keep on striving lawfully for the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray.